today.
Iran, like any nation, should be able to access peaceful nuclear energy. But because of its record of violating its obligations, Iran must accept strict limitations on its nuclear program that make it impossible to develop a nuclear weapon. These are substantial limitations which will help prevent Iran from building a nuclear weapon. Simply put, they cut off Iran's most likely paths to a bomb. On our side, the United States and our friends and allies have agreed to provide Iran with modest relief while continuing to apply our toughest sanctions.
After the nuclear deal over the weekend, marathon negotiations, some people aren't happy and others think it's a coup. Wow, I don't know that I think it's a coup. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, welcome to America Tonight. So here we are, starting in the Middle East, firmly planting our feet in the sands of massive confusion once again. So here's what happened. Finally, at 2 o'clock in the morning, so this was really 2 o'clock in the morning on Saturday, Sunday morning into Sunday, a message comes over, State Department was all over this, right, that says deal, deal, deal is done. And what they're talking about is in Geneva, cutting a deal on an Iran nuclear pact. And what does that entail? What it entails is that the deal means that Iran is not going to, simply put, enrich uranium for a nuclear warhead, for a nuclear weapon. But they were feeling the pinch of the sanctions that had been applied because their unemployment was catastrophic and they were being stopped at all turns. So the sanctions were finally, after years and years and years, and different administrations, finally, the sanctions got to Iran. And a new president's in place for the last couple of months, right? Rouhani. Because Ahmadinejad is out. He's done. But here's the deal. There are massive, massive risks with this. And the number one thing, and the thing that seems so ununderstandable, is you cut a deal with Iran after all these years of discord and distrust, and knowing full well that Iran has wreaked havoc on U.S. soldiers, especially when it came to the mess with Iraq. So Israel's prime minister says this is the worst possible deal, a historic deal of epic proportions, not in the right direction. He flips out. And there are others that are reacting the same way, saying it's not a good deal because they're getting money. The sanctions are coming down and nobody is on the ground checking what they have nuclear capability wise. And Israel says, we don't care about this deal. We're going to do everything we can to stop Iran. So what it is a 6 months freeze and trying to figure out some of the finer points. But what it's supposed to lead to is no enrichment for weapons. So the U.S. and five other world powers announced the landmark agreement Sunday morning. It would temporarily freeze, as I've been saying, Iran's nuclear program, and then there would be some foundation that would be thrown out for a bigger agreement. So we're talking about a decade, more than a decade, that there's been any kind of an agreement with Iran, especially to halt their nuclear program and roll back some parts of it. But here's the deal. 6 months. They say this gives negotiators a better chance to pursue a more comprehensive deal that would pull back most of Iran's nuclear program and somehow ensure, have it in place, that they would only be used for anything peaceful. So the agreement was signed, you heard me say it was like 2:40 when they started to get the text, was signed at 3 in the morning in Geneva. The president says it's the most significant and tangible progress of a diplomatic campaign that started when he took office. He said this is a new path toward a world that is more secure, a future, these are quotes, in which we can verify, because you heard him at the top, that Iran's nuclear program is peaceful, that it cannot build a nuclear weapon. Wow, we're saying that this deal says they can't build a nuclear weapon. This is incredible. We have it with this deal that they are not going to build a nuclear weapon. But here's the thing. Do you trust that? You know, it was John Kerry, the Secretary of State, that went to Geneva again, double dipping. It was the second time in 2 weeks to try to come up with this pact, right? And it would require Iran to prove the peaceful nature of their nuclear program. What do they do? Instagram us, take pictures of it. They have resisted monitoring every single way. They have clandestine nuclear facilities. So they've agreed to stop enriching uranium beyond 5% because that level would be enough for energy production, but they would need further enrichment for bomb making. So Iran is saying they're going to dismantle links between the networks of centrifuges. So if the stockpile of uranium enriched 20%, that's what it would be. It would just be a little bit of a leap from weapons-grade fuel. They would have to dilute it or do something else with it so they couldn't use it for the military. Iran is saying that they won't install any new centrifuges and they wouldn't start up any that are already operating or build any new facilities. But it doesn't stop them from enriching uranium to a low level of what they call 3.5%, or to dismantle any existing centrifuges. How do we know how much they have? So Israel's fuming. Netanyahu is fit to be tied. I think he's ready to get in the plane, fly it over, and bomb the places right now himself. He's pushed the United States to pursue a better agreement that would completely end the program. But Iran said they're not going to, you know, they would have to continue enriching. Any agreement would have to include that. And initially, Iran didn't accept the claim that they had the right to enrich. But last week, they said they were open to a compromise on how much should be interpreted and how much they could enrich. Now, here's the other part. In return, in the initial agreement, the United States provides $6 billion to $7 billion in sanction relief. $4.2 billion would be oil revenue that's been frozen in foreign banks. Because remember, that was really the big thing that happened. We started to freeze the money. But is this something we can trust? Good deal, bad deal. What say you? 855-266-5283, 855-266-5283. Also on the flip side, are you battening the hatches for some wild weather on Turkey Day? Stay with us.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, and many of you have heard the best-selling lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie. I want to let you know that Dr. Wallach will be in Minnesota July 16th giving a free health seminar. Discover how over 900 diseases like diabetes, obesity, and cancer can be avoided and reversed just by getting a mineral-rich diet. You heard me right. There has been groundbreaking research in nutrition. And if you're tired of prescription side effects leading to more drugs causing even more side effects, come to the free seminar at Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. Seating is limited, so come early. Discover how you can take charge of your own health. Come to the free seminar at Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th at 6 o'clock p.m. That's Apple Valley Community Center, 14603 Hayes Road, July 16th, 6 o'clock p.m. or call 866-860-2086 for directions and times. That's 866-860-2086. Again, that's 866-860-2086. On the average, Americans work between 45 to 50 years, hoping to build up enough wealth to retire and live out their golden years. Unfortunately, with taxation, the rising cost of food, energy, housing, and medical, many retirees are forced to live below the poverty line. Is this a flaw-free enterprise, or is our monetary unit, we call the Federal Reserve Note, forcing us into perpetual debt, ensuring inflation and higher taxes? These questions and more can be answered by reading G. Edward Griffin's book, The Creature from Jekyll Island. Congressman Ron Paul states, it's what every American needs to know about central bank power. A gripping adventure into the secret world of international banking cartel. Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I will give a silver dollar from the early 1900s to anyone who purchases this book. Call 1-800-686-2237 and order a copy today. It's critical that the public be made aware of the system. Call and order your copy today at 1-800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Are you frustrated with your current job? Not making the type of money that you know you are worth? Is it time for a change? Maybe it's time you considered starting your own home-based business. Autopilot Marketing has helped thousands of people, just like you, get started working from home. Whether it's an extra $250 to $500 per month part-time or a six-figure full-time income, anything is possible. You don't need any special skills or experience. Anyone can succeed with Autopilot Marketing. Take our free video tour and find out if this opportunity is right for you. Go to income16.com now. That's income, the number 16.com. Take our free video tour today and start earning money as early as next week. Go to income16.com. That's income, the number 16.com.
The first big storm of the winter season, and it started in Southern California. It's supposed to stretch across Texas, and they're thinking that this might hit some people, especially along the Atlantic coastline, pretty hard during the Thanksgiving Day holiday. You know, Wednesday and, of course, Thursday. Wednesday is when a lot of people travel. And because of icy roads, there have been a few people killed already. You know, that's when you get these pileups. And it's sad. Highway 70 in New Mexico, boy, I used to travel on that a lot. The highway patrol said there was a four-year-old girl that was killed. There was a car that she was in that slid off the highway. And there's another woman that died when a pickup truck she was riding in rear-ended a semi-truck because there was heavy traffic. Another place that I used to travel a lot, Gallup, New Mexico, when I lived there. So in parts of California, New Mexico, it's been pretty icy, pretty bad. In Oklahoma City, 10% of the flights, they canceled. There was 4 inches of snow. They're talking about rain and sleet that'll hit Dallas, and there were 300 flights canceled there. And the rain is expected to really kick all the way through to Georgia. And then the Carolinas, then they're talking about sleet and snow and heavy rain that will hit Mississippi and Alabama and Florida and South Carolina. It's that freezing rain that's no good. When you hit the freezing rain and it's that sheet of ice, boy, I hate driving on that. Sonia, I wish I had the right kind of, you have to have the right kind of car. Remember when people used to have, how many of you remember people had chains on their tires? Anything to grip the ice, right? So if more than 43 million Americans are traveling 50 miles or more, and that's what AAA always says, from their houses during the Thanksgiving Day weekend, that's when it gets tricky. And that's when you have, all it takes is one pileup, one accident to really back things up and double or even triple the time where you're going somewhere. And of course, the same thing with traveling by plane. If you're de-icing planes and there's backups and everything else, and then you're waiting for a connection, yeah, you better pack your patience because it might be nasty. However, it just depends on a couple of weather things that have to happen, because sometimes that pattern changes, even though we've already seen some of what's been predicted. Sometimes the, you know, it's that full course hype, the full court press where the hype is on. And so the hype is on for this. And I know there's some people in the Midwest that are just cackling, since in the Midwest, the most hardy people in the world, because you get blizzards and snow all the time and barely cancel school where it's a dusting for other people. But the ice is the thing. You get the black ice or any kind of ice, and it's a mess. So it might be pretty wild. If you're traveling, you might pay close attention, if you don't already, to what's going on with the weather, and check those roads, because some of those major highways could be locked up in some areas strictly because of this crazy weather stuff. You know, something, speaking of going on planes and waiting for flights and all of that, you always see people kind of trying to hide their cell phones. Hurry up, make a quick phone call. We're on the plane. It's not going to be delayed, because that's always the big thing. You're on the tarmac. You're not sure. You're going to be delayed. You're trying to tell somebody on the other end if they're going to have to drive around the airport or sit in a cell phone lot or whatever. You know, the FCC is talking about the ending the ban on the in-flight calls, so allowing that to happen. And in one way, I think, oh, well, that's good, because then if you have to warn somebody that, hey, we're stuck, we're later than we're supposed to leave, it looked good, but you might want to make sure you check because we're going to be later getting to the airport. So especially in major areas, big cities, they're not going to have to be stuck hanging around waiting for you to, you know, fly in. But on the other hand, if you're able to use your cell phone, can you imagine? I mean, texting is one thing, but can you imagine people on their cell phones talking? Oh, it's already annoying enough when you're, have you ever been on trains where it's tight quarters or someplace where someone's talking so loud you can't even hear yourself think? So, and I'm pretty tolerant, but I can't believe how loud sometimes people's conversations are and how ridiculous they are. Really don't want to hear them, but they talk so loud. So now we're going to have that on planes? If they're flying above, I guess during takeoff and landing, no. But if they're flying above 10,000 feet, then you could do it. So the planes would have special antennas, and once they get them in, then passengers could talk. And they say, you know, with the modern technology and the mobile services, it should be fine, and we don't have to make this so restrictive. Like I say, bravo in one way, and that's not good in another way. I have an awful, awful feeling about how long, think of flights, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours. What are people going to be doing on the flights? Talking, blah, 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 blah. You know, I can already see this. They could have, I know what they're going to do. The airlines are going to make money off this. They're going to have cell phone free aisles. So if you don't want to hear people's conversations, you're going to have to upgrade to sit in a different aisle so that you don't have to listen to it. So they're going to ban cell phone use in certain areas. For that privilege, you're going to have to pay more. I just have a bad feeling about this. And the whole thing was about safety, that if they, you know, are using the cell phones, is it interfering with the flight? If you have a wireless device on, they had a whole bunch of wireless devices on, and they say, no, that's not the case. But once they put those antennas in, texting is, like I said, texting is one thing, And that would be okay, actually, because then you could tell somebody, okay, we're delayed once we pushed off. We were delayed, and we're not going to land for another extra hour, hour and a half, whatever it might be, or there's some kind of weird emergency or whatever. But the idea of having that conversation, so disruptive. Oh, there's already so many things that happen on flights that are crazy. You know, it's like the dance that you have to do to get on the flight. Then there's like the bum's rush when you get up to get off, and everybody just, at one time, it's like an avalanche. Like all of a sudden, manners are out the window, and somebody's trying to get their carry-on bag, and people are practically knocking them over to get off the plane, because it's all about me, gotta get off the plane. And now we're going to have to listen to conversations. Is that buggy to anyone else? So they already nickel and dime you to death for everything about seats. Oh, if you want a premium seat, you got to upgrade to that premium seat, which is not first class. Now they're talking about, the airlines are talking about, and some of them are already testing this, auctioning off. They're talking about auctioning off first class tickets. So if you show up and there's tickets that aren't sold, you can bid on the seat. Not like a live auction, but online. Or when you go to check in, if they offer it to you, you can make a bid. So whoever has the best bid would win the seat. So now they're also going to make more money on that. Before, it used to be they would charge a low amount, whatever it was, $150, something, because at least they'd throw someone in the seat, and you know somebody would snap that up. But now they're talking about bids so they could get more money, thinking that somebody will bid maybe a couple hundred more than what they were offering the seats for. So now it's like one big auction on the plane. Then I know they'll start the cell phone thing. They'll have cell phone free aisles, and you'll have to pay more for those. Or it could be the other way, but I think it'll be cell phone free. So quieter sections of the airplane. And you probably will have to pay more for that. So premium seats, all of that. Man, they are picking your pocket. It's like being in Vegas, only you don't get a chance to spin the wheel and see if three cherries come up. Or hit the slot machine and pull down the arm and look for that. They're just taking the money. Just take the money. Here you have a seat that actually doesn't fall back and isn't broken, and you paid $40 more for it. But, you know, if you also want to be in a spot where you can read and relax and sleep, and you don't have to hear people chatting on their cell phone, then you can pick one of these premium seats, too, and pay an extra $80. It's like one big sales pitch, isn't it? It's like we're at a concert. There's no more festival seating. You have to pay whatever rate you're going to pay to get the seat on the plane. It's insane. Insane. All right, weekly re-rack. Conspiracy theories abound when it comes to JFK. We got one of them next here on America Tonight.
Do you have unfiled tax returns or owe the IRS or state more than $10,000? If you don't take action now, your tax problem is going to get worse. Much worse. Seizure of property, bank levies, wage garnishments, and potential criminal prosecution. And if you owe the IRS back payroll taxes, chances are you will be visited at your home or business by an IRS agent. Don't become paralyzed by fear. Take action now. Call the experts at U.S. Tax Shield for help. Our team of experienced tax attorneys can get you protected, stop collections, and negotiate a permanent settlement with the IRS and state, potentially saving you thousands of dollars. At U.S. Tax Shield, our tax advisors will review your case for free, inform you of your rights, and give you a guaranteed quote. No games and no tricky upsells. That's why we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Put an end to your torment. Get protected. Get the Shield. Call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-211-9458. That's 800-211-9458. 800-211-9458.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What looks good under your Christmas tree and tastes even better? Big Berkey water filters. Yes, the gift of clean water. A gift that provides a great foundation for achieving good health in the lives of your loved ones. A Big Berkey water filter gives them protection from bacteria, heavy metals, chlorine, fluoride, pesticides and herbicides, VOCs and more. And best of all, a Big Berkey water filter is a gift that lasts for many years with no additional investment. And that saves time and money in filter replacements that other water filters require and are even powerful enough enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. As always, all orders over $50 are shipped free, and GCN listeners get 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Order online at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com, spelled Big, B-E-R-K-E-Y, WaterFilters.com, or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Gift well this Christmas. Give a Big Berkey water filter.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE, 855-340-7283.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled T-E-R-A-G-A-N-I-X.com. Terraganics.com, or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
The book called Rose Sheremy and the JFK Assassination. His name is Todd Elliott, and of course it's a rose by many other names is the first part of that. And we're talking about 50 years later after the assassination of JFK, and we're looking at this from all angles. 24% of Americans believe Lee Harvey Oswald single-handedly killed the president, and almost 60% believe more than one person was involved. So Todd is joining us to share some of his evidence of a conspiracy and explain what Rose's role is in all of that we're starting to hear. Todd, first of all, thanks for jumping on the show with us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. It's great to be here with you.
So tell us about Rose and what role she plays in this conspiracy.
Well, Rose Sheremy is what I like to call the first. She's the first JFK assassination conspiracy theorist. And she actually believed in a conspiracy to kill the president while the president was still alive. And she was a drug courier and a prostitute who worked for Jack Ruby, of course, the man who assassinated Lee Harvey Oswald in Dallas. Rose was actually picked up in Eunice, Louisiana, which I've also dubbed the birthplace of the JFK conspiracy theory. And she told a Louisiana State Trooper and other law enforcement officials and medical personnel at the Eunice Musa Hospital on November 20th, 1963. She told these people on Wednesday that she had been traveling from Miami through Louisiana with two men who were on their way to kill Kennedy in Dallas on Friday. And this is kind of like the prequel to the JFK assassination. What's interesting, though, is she doesn't show up in the Warren Commission report when it first was released. But during the House Select Committee on Assassinations of the 95th Congress in March of 1978 and 79, she appears sort of in the sequel to the Warren Commission report. But she still remains a very mysterious, kind of shady figure. And for 50 years, she's just been a footnote to the Kennedy assassination. She was the first person to provide some sort of foreknowledge, the first indication that we had of foreknowledge. And she was the first person to tie Lee Harvey Oswald together and Lee Harvey Oswald and Jack Ruby together on the Monday that Oswald was buried and President Kennedy was buried. They were both buried on Monday following the assassination. And that's when the first non-publicized investigation into the murder of the president occurred. And it was done by two state troopers from Louisiana, along with this woman, Rose Sheremy. Now, after she was picked up on Wednesday, November 20th, 1963, and it's a good place to start doing your own research and for mainstream America to get into the conspiracy theories or the assassination, true facts and history of it all. Oliver Stone actually started his film, JFK, with the first dramatized sequence of that film is Rose Sheremy. He shows a woman being thrown out of a moving vehicle, and it shows her in the hospital in Eunice telling doctors and nurses and law enforcement personnel that these men that she was traveling with were on their way to kill Kennedy on Friday. And from there, she went to the Eunice jail, and she was held there for a little while. And she was obviously, they thought she was, no one believed her. They thought she was out of her gourd. I mean, she was really hopped up on drugs. And more than likely, she probably was. She was also a drug addict as well. But she obviously said something that struck officials in Eunice, Louisiana, as odd or strange or crazy, because they had her committed on November 20th to the East Louisiana State Hospital in Jackson, Louisiana, which is about an hour and a half or nearly 2 hours to the east of Eunice, Louisiana. And so she got, you know, she was interred into a Louisiana mental hospital where authorities had her committed, and she was telling people at the hospital on the day of the assassination that they were going to kill the president at a Dallas underpass. And it's a very strange tale. She's got to be in the top five strange Louisiana characters associated with the JFK assassination and conspiracy theory.
And so what happened? Rose Sheremy says this, but no one believes her. They throw her, you know, commit her into, I'll call it a mental hospital, and then that all happens.
Yeah.
But then these two troopers obviously had knowledge of it because heard what she had to say. And then
right.
Do they go back and visit her and say, hey, listen, wow, that's why it's so crazy it doesn't show up in the Warren Commission.
Right. Well, yeah, I know it didn't show up in the Warren Commission, but what was interesting was the state troopers, they finally believed her on Friday, and the state trooper called state hospital to get her out and said that they wanted her for an investigation. The hospital officials told her that they had to wait until Monday, and they got her out on a Monday, and they flew into Houston. And that was a very unprecedented move. It would be an unprecedented move today for, you know, state troopers, state police to basically spring a mental patient from a hospital and take her out of state. I thought that was very strange and kind of suspect in a way. But, yeah, and, you know, one of the men, one of the state troopers is still alive to this day, and he refuses to talk about Rose Sheremy. He refuses to go on the record about what he knows and what he saw on the Monday following President Kennedy's assassination. And I have to ask myself, why? You know, why? And this man's name is Wayne Moran, and he was a sheriff in a parish, Evangeline Parish in Louisiana. And he still lives in Ville Platte today, and he still won't talk about it. He wouldn't go on the record for my book. I asked him three times. I even asked him after the book came out. And Lieutenant Francis Frugier, the other guy, and he's kind of one of the main persons of interest in my book. He, in 1967, ended up working for Jim Garrison. Of course, you know, Garrison was the Orleans Parish District Attorney, played by Kevin Costner in the film.
Sure.
And he brought the first case forward in the murder of the president because he was investigating Lee Harvey Oswald, who was from New Orleans and had certainly made a name for himself in New Orleans the summer of 1963. And that's how all these interesting Louisiana characters kind of get tied into to the story of Rose. But she was a much coveted witness, and Garrison wanted her in 1967 for his case, but unfortunately, Rose met with an untimely demise in 1965. She was what I call one of these JFK statistics, these unfortunate souls who end up, you know, dead by mysterious causes or, you know, suicides or and I got to tell you, the high amount of unnatural deaths and the probability of that happening is like one in a trillion to the power of six, you know. And you have to ask, well, why were there so many deaths of all these witnesses and people surrounding the case from 1964 to the government did its second investigation in the 70s to 1978? All these mysterious deaths of people who were either supposed to testify or should have testified. And if Oswald was a lone nut, then why all these unnatural deaths? And, you know, I mean, if you just look at the scientific evidence, you just look at the mass portion of it, it doesn't make sense. It's highly improbable that all these people surrounding this conspiracy, would end up so dead with some untimely demise.
So what's your gut feeling tell you, somebody who's really dug into this, that, listen, hey, there's people that don't want any of this exposed, so let's just get rid of it. Let's do anything we can to eliminate the problem. What, you know, ultimately, is that what you think the end game was here?
Oh, I think so. I think dead ends were a part of the plan for either people like me, truth seekers who were going to come along and investigate later. I mean, they certainly made life difficult for the district attorney, Jim Garrison, out of New Orleans. I think it still goes on today. I mean, I think the part of the conspiracy is long over. Let's not talk about conspiracy more. We're talking about a crime. We're talking about murder. And it's an unsolved murder, according to the Dallas Police Department, the murder of our president. And I think Rose Sheremy definitely knew something about this. How a working girl, and I use that term loosely, I mean, she was a prostitute, and if she was just a junkie and a prostitute, then how did she get in on the conversation? She overheard something about killing the president, and then she got into the vehicle with the men who were supposed to carry out that plot. So we find Rose Sheremy, someone who deals in drugs and prostitution, but she also dealt in information. And I had a theory that maybe she was some sort of operative, some sort, maybe a narc or a mole or someone, an informant working for our intelligence agency, maybe even the Department of Justice. But as it turns out, documentation that was released from the reports of the House Select Committee on Assassinations from the 95th Congress in March of 1979, it was revealed that Rose Sheremy had been both an FBI informant and she had huge connections to the underworld, mainly as part of the Carlos Marcello heroin trafficking network. And Carlos Marcello was like the godfather of Louisiana, a huge kingpin mafioso. And I think the cover-up is still going on today, because I think if you dig deep enough, you'll find instances where our intelligence community in the United States has worked with organized crime before, and I think they still do to some degree.
All right, we're going to continue with more of Todd Elliott and the conspiracy theory over the JFK assassination next here on America Tonight.
If you owe the IRS back taxes, listen carefully. Sweeping changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever eliminate their tax debts once and for all. And now, I can help you reduce or eliminate your tax debts and end your tax nightmare. Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I've helped thousands of people reduce and eliminate tax debts they couldn't pay. And after more than 30 years of experience dealing with the IRS, I can tell you there's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. And with the IRS's new policies, it's easier than ever to put your tax debt behind you once and for all. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. Call 800-346-6829. Learn how I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open-pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Typhoon Haiyan death toll tops 5,200 2 weeks after the storm smashed the Philippines. This Thanksgiving, let's not forget those who lost their lives and the 13 million left homeless without food and clean water. Before we sit down to our bountiful tables, consider making a food donation. Longevity and the Red Cross has made it possible to feed a family of four for $16.20. Go to GCNlive.com and look for Help Feed the Philippines or call 877-878-4203 and thank you.
That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Trauma Max, a high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com. We'll stop it and most pistol rounds. Trauma Max is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
Black off the play action, great protection, going deep down the middle of the field. His pass hangs up in the air, and it is caught! Jacoby Jones at the 10, 5, lunges, touchdown, Ravens!
Luck back to throw, 5-step drop, steps up, gets hit, throws, picked off! Intercepted by Dansby at the 20, at the 10, into the end zone, touchdown! Carlos Dansby with a pick 6, and the Cardinals lead it 23-3.
Throws it long down the left sideline, Brown's open, and that's a Pittsburgh Steelers touchdown. Antonio Brown had a big step on Joe Hayden. Hayden couldn't believe it when Brown caught the ball and fell over the goal line.
Fitzpatrick takes the snap, looking, throwing, it's caught, Kendall Wright at the one in the end zone.
16-13 Miami. Tight line splits. Newton takes. Fakes a handoff. Throws a pass end zone right side. Greg Olsen touchdown. Carolina leads.
Kick away. Kick up. Kick. Good. Dan Bailey with no time left in a brutal win. Kicks the 8th game winning field goal in his career. The most in Cowboys history. They never needed one more than they needed.
Christian passes to Cordero to the near to the far side to the 30, 35, 40. He's to the 50. He heads back to the right, can't pitch the ball, and Border Battle 107 ends in a tie. Final score, 26-26. Rivers in shotgun. Larry with a block. Rivers going end zone looking for Ajira 2-2. He has got it! Shea! Ajira 2-2! Are you kidding? 24 seconds to go!
Snaps it. Allen receives it. Moves it away with a left foot. It's a high hanging kick. Zip punt with Welker. Starting forward. Now back to where the ball can about to hit a Bronco. The Patriots recover. The Patriots have it. The ball is covered up by New England's Nate Ebner. And a
line. The snap, the spot, the kick is airborne to the upright, and the kick is a game winner! The Patriots come back and beat the Broncos! 34-31!
Well, what a shocker. Great job, Matt Johnson, as always, with the highlights. The Patriots rallying and knocking off Denver, as you heard there. You had a couple of big calls where the announcers, the play-by-play guys, you could tell they were hoarse. They were so excited at the end of the game. And that was certainly one of them, because it definitely had the makings for the Broncos to win this thing. In fact, the Patriots were in the hole 24-zip. And what a stunner what they were able to do in OT. I'll tell you what, this is one of those games that rallies the team even more. And I think that this amps the New England Patriots up, because it was an incredible finish for them. You know, Manning threw for only 73 yards in the first 3.5 quarters. Wow. And, you know, goes on an 80-yard drive. And penalties helped the Broncos a couple of times. And in the end, though, it was the Patriots that were able to capitalize, especially, like I said, they were down 24-zip halftime. That's crazy that they came back the way that they did. But that's why you can never count, and you can never count Tom Brady out either. And he certainly showed that in this game. When Tom Brady needed to come through, he came through. Matt, you were watching that game. It was as we were starting the show, and the end of this was just incredible, wasn't it?
I think it at halftime, when it was 24-0, I don't believe anyone really thought the Patriots were going to come around and win that game, because you have Peyton Manning, who in the first half didn't do all that much, but the Denver defense was just destroying the Patriots, creating turnovers, scoring points. They were running the ball all over the Patriots, and all of a sudden they come out in the third quarter and just score 3 touchdowns, and I can't remember how many minutes it was, but all of a sudden it's just like, whoa, this is a tight ball game all of a sudden.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, crazy. Because all of a sudden, Tom Brady, 10 of 10, 3 touchdowns on passes where it was like 10 or fewer yards downfield. Boom, that's what happened in the second half. And when he needed to make the, you know, he hit Gronky when he needed to hit him. Gronkowski, he made huge plays when he had to in the end. But like you said, nobody would have thought being down that far in the hole that they were going to come back from 24 points. I looked this up. It's the largest deficit overcome to win a game in Patriots history.
Yeah, and it was the biggest deficit Belichick has ever faced as a coach, too. And
wow, that's crazy.
Mean, just like all across the NFL, I feel like, you know, the last couple of weeks you had a good game here and there. Like I think the Sunday night and the Monday night game last week were pretty good, but overall they weren't great games the last couple of weeks. This weekend had a ton of amazing games that were going into overtime. I mean, that Vikings-Packers game, I don't know how exciting it was,
overtime.
But it ended in a tie. It wasn't that exciting. If you want to, I mean, Vikings involved in another boring game. That's about the fourth
first
or fifth
tie.
One first tie in a while.
First tie since 78, and to end in a tie, 26 apiece. After they, you know, exchanged field goals,
that really just showed how inept those offenses are, though. Because I mean, I actually Christian Ponder threw a game-winning pass, and Cordarrelle Patterson couldn't hold on to it. But I mean, that game was, you know, close, goes into overtime, ends in a tie. You had the Broncos, Patriots. We already talked about the Panthers coming back to win. You had the Titans coming back and winning against Miami.
Huge.
The Cowboys and Giants game. There were a lot of close ball games where you had these teams coming back from behind in the last minute or two and winning the game.
Yeah, even Tampa Bay, left for dead, the coach being thrown out of town, billboards up all over the place to just get him out. And Tampa Bay wins. They beat Detroit 24-21 in Detroit, no less. Again, another crazy last-minute finish.
And that's
really
another one where you know, the Lions were driving down the field. Calvin Johnson catches the ball and ends up fumbling it right into the Tampa Bay Bucs' hands. And, I mean, that could have set up to be a tie ball game or maybe a win for the Lions right there, too.
Which is crazy because it's the third win for the Bucs. And, it, you know, as this continues, it may save his job because otherwise – It's been crazy what's happened to Tampa Bay. Three straight after losing their first eight.
Also, the team everyone kind of forgets about because I don't know why, but the Kansas City Chiefs, they get upset by the Chargers in the last second by Philip Rivers with that touchdown call there in the highlight package. That's another game where, I mean, the Chiefs had only lost one game so far, and then they come and just lay an egg against the Chargers in the last second on defense there.
I know, and I would never have thought that either. I'm in a straight-up pool. I've told people this listening where you just pick the games, and I've done pretty well. This week I got four right because of so many last-minute shenanigans. So the Chiefs, as Matt mentioned, they're 9-2 now, and the Chargers coming through that way. They picked up their fifth win because their backs have been completely against the wall. And now all of a sudden, boom, he comes up with the goods, Rivers, when he had to.
Yeah, and you wouldn't think the Chiefs, who have one of the best defenses in the NFL, would give up that many points to the Chargers, let alone you're at home in one of the loudest stadiums in the NFL, and all your defense has to do is stop Philip Rivers, who's been known to make a few mistakes here and there, and he comes through.
Yeah. You know what? You brought up that Minnesota-Green Bay game wasn't a great game, but they ended that 26-26 tie. Should the NFL end these games in ties? I mean, they messed around with this a couple of years ago. They changed the rules, and the biggest thing was that if a team that received the ball in overtime first kicked a field goal in the first drive, the other team would have that chance. But, I mean, is this the way these games should end? You should end with a tie? That's crazy.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's good to give each team an opportunity to have the ball, but also I don't think you can extend it more because then you're asking these players to just
another overtime.
Yeah, an ungodly amount of football, and there's injuries that'll happen if you start getting all these fatigued players out there. Somebody's going to get hurt. I don't know. I think this is a rare thing that's going to end in the tie, so you kind of have to leave it the way it is, I think.
Yeah. You talked about the Titans, and the Titans, what they did is, you know, now they're playing, teams are playing for playoff spots where they, because you're starting to see, because we're, you know, week 13, week 14, week 15, you get down to the nitty gritty. And that was a big win for the Titans to come through the way they did because Oakland really had their number in the beginning, it seemed, and then they end up winning 23-19. So they helped themselves out. The next couple of weeks you're going to see this, and we'll talk about this more on the air as we move along, but teams are going to really separate those that are kind of on the cut line. I mean, we may end up with some pretty interesting playoffs. Hey, don't forget we have Nail the Score. We do it once a week. This time it'll be on Tuesday into Wednesday. We'll try it. I know a lot of you are going to be traveling, but we'll try it anyway. It'll be in our third hour for the last two segments. You can either call us or shoot us an email at americatonight.net.
E-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American made? Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriate e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriate at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.